¡Órale! Bienvenidos and welcome to the microwave edition of the Familia FFB podcast. I'm Jorge Georgi Martin, bringing you los waivers for week 14. For many of you, it's going to be playoff week, so the start of the fantasy playoffs. For some, it is the last week of the fantasy regular season, so there are some crucial moves to be made. You know, a lot of teams have been picked pretty clean, but they're, you know, with as things often happen in fantasy football and in the NFL, it's next man up, and a few instances open up some opportunities for some players who are going to be on the waiver wire. But first, we're going to do a Monday Night Football doubleheader recap, starting off in Pittsburgh, where the Washington football team shocked the world with a 23-17 victory over the Steelers. I mean, just the biggest shocker of week 13, and probably the biggest of the season, because in this one, the Steelers got up 14-0 in the second quarter, then did not score another TD the rest of their game, and it ended their quest for a perfect season. Washington pecked away, even without Antonio Gibson, who's just been stud this season. He injured his toe during his second carry of the game and never returned. So this is going to be something that we're going to have to follow for fantasy purposes coming, because he helped a lot of teams in the playoffs. And if you got to find a sub, there's going to be some opportunities coming up. Back to the game, Alex Smith took advantage of an injured Pittsburgh secondary to throw for 296 yards and one TD. That one was to Logan Thomas. The big tight end came up big, catching all 9 of his targets for 98 yards in the score. He's a player to keep in mind among the really just the diminishing number of usable tight ends in the fantasy football landscape the rest of the season. So keep an eye on him. Back to the running backs, Peyton Barber subbed in for Gibson. He rushed for a pretty pedestrian 23 yards on 14 carries and a score, so he did get a touchdown there to kind of save his day. Another guy to keep in mind, and we're going to talk about him, is J.D. McKissic. He caught all 10 of his targets for 70 yards. If Gibson misses some time, there's going to be a couple of players that could be got out there. Scary Terry McLaurin, the F1, he had a disappointing day with just 2 receptions for 14 yards, so not much happening with him, though Cam Sims was the main wide receiver target for Washington with 5 receptions for 92 yards. Over on the Steelers side, it was Big Ben throwing for 305 yards and 2 touchdowns. They went to James Washington and Deontay Johnson, but there was a crucial interception that Big Ben threw in the closing minutes that really just ruined the Steelers' last chance to stay unbeaten. So back to Johnson, he did catch 8 of 12 balls for 71 yards and the touchdown, though he made a couple of big drops, which coupled with what happened in the Baltimore game, I mean, it doesn't look like it's hurt his volume of late, but because he's still continuing to get at least 10 targets a game, but hopefully it doesn't hurt him in the long run. So back to Washington, he went for 80 yards on 2 receptions. So where it really was worrisome for the Steelers was Benny Snell. He pretty much got stonewalled by the Washington defensive front. Granted, that is a really good defensive front, but you know, carrying the ball 8 times for 5 yards, I mean, that's just that no bueno, no bueno. And Snell was stopped on 3 attempts at the goal line. So hopefully, everything is trending toward James Conner returning next week. Apparently he wants to, he's going to be healthy enough and return to, so hopefully he's ready to go next week. In the nightcap, Buffalo Bills 34, San Francisco 49ers 24. I mean, this was the Josh Allen show. That big rugged QB threw for 375 and 4 touchdowns, all to different receivers. I mean, Allen was so good with the pass that he really only needed to rush the ball 6 times for 11 yards, so it wasn't really a factor there. The biggest factor on the pass receiving side was Cole Beasley, who led the way with 130 yards on 9 receptions and a touchdown. Stephon Diggs kept everything going. He caught 10 of 11 targets for 92 yards. He was kept out of the end zone. And over, if you were streaming tight end, Dawson Knox may have paid off for you big time. Somewhat big time for how tight ends have been going. He caught 4 receptions for 27 yards and the score. So the running game, it ended up tilting toward Devin Singletary in this one. He had 18 carries for 61 yards, and he added 22 yards on 3 receptions. But largely because he got that is because Zach Moss was fairly invisible after he fumbled the ball. He was in his own end zone, kind of dropped the ball. The 49ers recovered, deep in Buffalo territory. But Moss was not seen again as he only finished with 9 yards on 3 carries. Over on the San Francisco side, Nick Mullins did help those who dared start him. Did you dare start him? maybe in one of the faceoffs in DFS, but he passed for 316 yards, 3 touchdowns. He had 2 interceptions. So, and the 49ers were really not able to get much going on the running game. Jeff Wilson had 47 yards. Raheem Mostert rang up 42 yards on 9 carries. As we've seen so much, the 49ers, they build so much of their offense around the running game. If that's not going to get going, that's going to be problematic. And as we saw in the final score, that's how it shook out. The wide receivers, a couple of them had good games, primarily Brandon Ayuk, who led the way with 5 catches for 95 yards and a touchdown. And both Ayuk and Debo Samuel did plenty after the catch. Samuel rang up 73 yards on 6 receptions. So that's going to be something to keep an eye on for this one, because Kyle Shanahan really does like to scheme those yards after the catch receptions for the for his receivers. And when you look at it, that's how these two really excel. And and then really this is one of the first games where both of them were healthy, so something to keep an eye on for the rest of the year. I mean, they as we can see, they both can be fantasy relevant for in the same game. Now let's get into some chisme. This is recorded early on Tuesday morning, and we just got the news that Jalen Hurts is taking over as the starter for Carson Wentz. So maybe that 4th and 18 touchdown pass that he threw late in the game made it look like they could move the ball with him. Vamos a ver. Jalen Hurts definitely comes from winning programs at Alabama and Oklahoma. He's played on the largest stages. He did not show like he was going to shrink from the moment on Sunday. We're going to see if he's going to be up for it. I mean, you just got to say, maybe they just needed to change, and maybe Wentz just needed to sit a little bit to kind of get his bearings and see maybe what is, see if there is anything that he can learn from, from the sidelines. There are players who have had that happen. So the fact that that big contract of his is still going to be on the books for the Eagles is going to make it hard to make this a permanent change. But, for 4 games left, with the fact that the Eagles are still in the playoff hunt, it's worth a shot for now. Over in Carolina, the Panthers had no positive COVID tests today. They already have 8 players on the COVID list, including DJ Moore and Curtis Samuel. So it's not yet clear if either tested positive. So there is still hope that they could, with 2 consecutive negative tests, that they could be cleared to play in Sunday's game. So hopefully, because Matt Rhule, head coach, is hopeful that, quote unquote, hopeful that Christian McCaffrey, coming back from that shoulder injury, can return in week 14 against the Broncos. I think fantasy managers who have held on to Mr. McCaffrey, run CMC himself, and are looking to see about cranking him up in the playoffs, like my primo Ricky, it's going to be something that could be a nice reward for holding on to him and still making the playoffs. Chris Godwin underwent a procedure during the bye week to remove pins from his broken finger. If you guys remember, he missed week 8 with that broken finger and then came back afterwards. So it did cost him a game then, but it looks like he's going to be fine for Sunday against the Vikings secondary. That's really been pretty generous this season to opposing wide receivers. So you want to make sure if you got Godwin that you're firing him up this week. In New Orleans, head coach Sean Payton said that there's still no timeline for the return of Drew Brees. So remember, he's got those fractures in the ribs. And I always felt like three, four weeks was going to be too aggressive for that. I think, like I mentioned once before, I had a broken rib, and that took 6 weeks to be completely healed. And really, it's just a pain management thing after a while. But you want to look at the fact that you want to keep Breeze on your IR if possible, but really the fact that he's that Peyton can't make any kind of commitment to him, it makes it seem like he's not going to play this week, and you know, maybe week 15, maybe week 16, maybe he can come to the rescue in the fantasy playoffs. Lastly, you know, John Gruden gave some not so good news about Josh Jacobs. It's looking like he's not going to be playing. He said he would not expect Jacobs to play in week 14 against the Colts. So another one without the stud running back. Devontae Booker did not really shine last week against the Jets. So, and the Colts have a tough run defense. But again, you know, everybody's screaming for Lee Caballos at this point. So if you got Booker, you're more than likely at least starting in the flex. So let's get into those waivers and a couple quarterbacks to keep an eye on. Number one is Philip Rivers. He's owned in 40% of leagues, and he's at the Raiders this week. And you got to tell you, he's been on a little bit of a nice run, four games in a row with at least 285 yards in each game. He hit that mark on the nose in week 13, throwing for two touchdowns. He's, you know, and the other thing to keep in mind is, you know, the Raiders are 23rd in fantasy points per game allowed to opposing quarterbacks, and then Rivers and the Colts have the Texans in week 15, so that's a great play, especially considering the fact that they've just that the Texans just lost Bradley Roby, their top cornerback. So I'm expecting Rivers to be throwing a lot the next 2 weeks. And well, familia, Mitchell Trubisky is on this list. Yes, look at this lineup coming up: Houston, at Minnesota, at Jacksonville. All three are among the worst pass defenses in the NFL for this season, and so they've been so generous. Could we be seeing Mitchell Trubisky as a league winner? I mean, I tell you, there's been a lot of crazy things that I've seen in my decades of playing fantasy football. If somebody would stream Trubisky for 3 weeks in a row and lead them to a fantasy championship, that would be among the craziest. But I mean, when you look at those matchups, he just finished throwing for 267 and a touchdown against the Lions. I mean, it could happen. It could happen. And also keep in mind that two of those games, the Minnesota and the Jacksonville games, are either going to be in a dome or in good weather. So you're not going to worry about those big wins in Chicago. Over on the running backs, Ty Johnson, owned in 2% of leagues, but don't let that fool you. This is a battle of attrition over with the New York Jets. I mean, he just finished 22 carries for 104 yards and a touchdown, and he added a pair of receptions for 13 yards. Really, I mean, what this is coming down to is he's the last man standing. Gore is in the concussion protocol. Frank Gore, the ageless wonder. And when you want to say, it's like Wally Pipp, anyone for those baseball fans. But keep in mind, Gore was not playing back in the in the 20s and 30s when in the early 1920s when Lou Gehrig took over the job. So it's almost 100 years ago. I know he's an ageless wonder, but not that ageless. But Ty Johnson ran well against the Raiders last week. The Seahawks have been, you know, fairly tough against against running backs, tougher especially since Jamal Adams came back. But again, he's a starting running back, and there are possibilities there. And over in Washington, we talked about Peyton Barber and J.D. McKissick. They're you know, if Antonio Gibson misses any time, it's both of them are options. Barber only ran, as we said, only ran for 23 yards on 14 carries, but again, he is going to be an option. The number one option on running downs. The most intriguing one is McKissick if you're in a PPR league, where he had 10 receptions last week, kept out of the end zone, but again, that's 17 points when you add in the 70 yards. So he's playing the 49ers this week. So I mean, both of them are playing the 49ers, so there is some possibilities to grab either one on the waiver wire. Over on the wide receivers, T.Y. Hilton. Back-to-back games with touchdowns. This most recent week, he caught 8 of 11 for 110 yards and a touchdown, and they're playing the Raiders. The Raiders have been very generous to defense, to wide receivers, and Hilton may just be heating up at the right time, kind of, you know, turning back the clock 2-3 years to his prime. And then again, keep in mind, Texans next week. The, you know, Hilton train, it could be happening for you guys. Speaking of the Texans, Kiki QT, owning 27% of leagues, he showed his potential this week. Caught 8 of 9 balls for 141 yards, no touchdowns. But again, you saw those deep throws, and Deshaun Watson has just been playing fantastic of late. The word of warning, he's got the Bears this week, at the Bears, and then at Indianapolis next week before finishing off the season with Cincinnati. So if you're deep enough where you could stash him and see about maybe starting him in a flex in week 16, or if you got to start him, hey, you know what? You know that the passing volume is going to be coming his way. Over in New York, the Jets, Denzel Mims is a possibility. He's at Seattle this week, and I know the Seahawks have been playing a little bit better defense lately, but you got to look at the targets. And where he had 23 targets in the previous three games before he had only three against the Raiders last week. This could be a spot start matchup for him. Because they do have the Rams in week 15, but they have Cleveland, who's been giving up points in the air. So maybe he's a startable player for those 2 weeks for you. Over a word of warning with the next player, Rashard Higgins has been getting a lot of talk after, a lot of attention since the game with the Titans over the weekend, where he caught 6 of 9 balls for 95 yards and a touchdown. They play the Ravens in week 14, and as of this recording, the Ravens have not played so far. But in the game against the Steelers, both of their starting DBs got injured, so you wonder if they could be missing some time or just be a little bit hobbled, and that's going to be opening up some opportunities on Monday Night Football when they travel to play Cleveland, and could that open up some possibilities for Higgins? So just keep that in mind when you're picking him up. He's owned in 8% of leagues. Tight end, there's only one guy to keep an eye on, and that's Cole Kmet, on the guys that are available. He's owning 1% of leagues, but back-to-back weeks, this past week he got he caught 5 of 7 targets for 37 yards and a touchdown. And if you were watching the week before, he made a reception and fumbled at the goal line in the previous game against the Packers. So he's getting those opportunities. He's also out-snapping Jimmy Graham. In this past game, he had 54 snaps. He played on 54 snaps while Jimmy Graham played on 34. But more importantly, Jimmy Graham had 0 targets in that game. So this job really looks like it's gone to the rookie, Cole Kmet. So, and anybody who grew up in LA in the 70s and 80s remembers the legendary radio station KMET with the equally legendary Jim Ladd. So shout out to 94.7 FM fans from the 70s and 80s. Bueno, everybody, eso es todo for our show. Gracias for joining us. Thanks again to Anchor for being our hosting network and making sure our independent podcast gets out to the Familia community. Please make sure to subscribe and leave us a review and at Spotify, Apple, Google, wherever you get your podcasts. Remember to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Familia FFB. You can find me on Twitter at JorgeMartin17, where I'll be tweeting out plenty of updates as we keep going and plenty of advice. And don't forget our FamiliaFFB.com website and our Familia FFB Facebook page. Gracias, everybody. And remember, todos somos familia.